And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
You want to know the place to be right now? It's jointhenerdclan.com. It's where you're going to get all kinds of great bonus material and extras from Blake and myself, whether it's Blake's book club, where he's currently tackling Voyager in the Outlander series, which got a shout out on this week's episode, or Keep Calm and Crown On, which is returning next week. Get ready, binge Netflix friends. We're coming for you. Or even the bonus After Doc podcast episodes, which we are doing tonight, starting after this show. There's a lot that you don't want to miss out on in the Nerd Clan. So make sure you go to jointhenerdclan.com, become a part of the best community on the interwebs. And I'm going to tell you something. We love the holiday season. If you want to get a holiday card from Blake and I, you need to sign up before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes.
You want to get a holiday gift from Blake or I, you need to sign up before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Just putting it out there. I love the holidays. I love snail mail. We want to make you merry. Sign up before Thanksgiving.
Where do they get sign up?
jointhenerdclan.com.
And I'm a workout addict with daddy issues. Also, sometimes I get foot corns, and when that baby flares up in the summer, I've been known to wear shoes and socks at the beach.
It's bulimia. My eating disorder. It almost killed me when I was 17. I have a handle on it. But even now, sometimes my daily state of mind is still determined by my weight. Also, I am obsessed with the show Outlander.
No.
Me too. Yeah.
You're one of those people.
Yeah.
Me too.
One of those people. I know.
From Providence, Rhode Island. Welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, let's all have a good cry. I'm one of those people. I'm Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I am also one of those people.
Yes.
All right.
High five to the Outlander nerds out there for getting a shout out for the This Is Us writers, knowing their audience well.
Oh, yes.
Possibly being inspired by Blake and my podcast about This Is Us 2 and Outlander cast. You never know who's listening.
I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say no. For those of you who are listening to us right now, obviously you guys know that. And if you don't know, I'm sorry that you don't, but we have an Outlander podcast.
If you don't know, now you know.
Mr. President. yes, we have a Outlander cast. It's a podcast about Outlander. We are Outlander dorks. So
we've gone to conventions.
We've had conventions.
Blake has kilts.
I have a kilt. You have a kilt.
You have a sporran.
I do have a sporran.
I have way too much plaid. Actually, there is no such thing as way too much plaid. I'm so happy about this. So listen, guys, before we get into like this episode, though, we need to have a little story time. For those of you who are new to This Is Us 2, the reason that we named this podcast This Is Us 2 because is you can often find elements of yourself or things that have happened in your life or that will happen in your life through these characters. It's just a really relatable show, and I think that that is one of the most beautiful things about the show. And when I saw the preview for this week with the, you made a crass video, put yourself on the internet, I was like, oh, Oh, I've done something similar. But thank goodness I was born in a slightly different generation than Tess. You see,
yes,
back in the good old days of 2001, my friends and I liked to make videos. And I was an RA, and I had a lot of friends who worked at the radio station and the television station. The television station was really like the one TV station that you needed to turn your Xbox or PlayStation on, like Channel 3. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was like whatever was on, some like homemade college movie stuff. And then you would just really turn that channel. So needless to say, like everyone watched Channel 3 to get to their game, their device, their VCR. But it was just like tomfoolery. Mm-hmm. Well, I was on that tomfoolery stuff quite often because my friends and I would make a, you know, the old show Cops, like, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? But it was RAs. You could actually find them online.
Bad dorks.
Yeah. Sadly, they're on YouTube. I'm not going to lie. Not my finest moment. Those of you who want to be really awkward, you can just search RAs, University of Rhode Island, and I'm going to probably be the first person showing up.
Oh, my goodness.
Holding a condom wrapper. Yeah. Anyway, in the condom wrapper episode, I decided to let it be known that I had beef with somebody. I thought that this was a really, really good way to get my beef across. As a sophomore in college, I had an issue with someone who was lying about me, saying that I was leaving the dorm when I was on call.
You are such a Gryffindor.
And
you're a wizard, Harry.
Pride, okay? I do not leave the dorm when it's on call. I got it switched. I got it switched, man. But this guy was going around telling people that I was leaving the dorm when I was supposed to be on call. Now, mind you, it's because he was trying to date me and he was jealous that I wasn't there when he was trying to like creep on me and visit me while I was stuck in the dorm. Thank goodness I escaped. But nonetheless, I got really mad. So I went on University of Rhode Island television and said, and who's ever talking about me leaving the dorm, it ain't true. So stop saying it. And it was out there for everyone to see.
Oh my goodness.
And this person confronted me and was like, didn't you know that like I would see that? And I said, well, I didn't see your name, but yeah, I'm glad you saw that. That's why I made it. And when I saw Tess in that video, you know what? I would have done the same thing. Don't touch my hair. Nope. I'm gonna make this video. And I don't know if I would have said the words she said, but I'm glad, you know, I was glad that it was just on TV and not on the internet. And right before the show, I Googled it and it is on the internet.
Is it really?
My video.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to say we should make that a thing for patrons if we get to a certain level that people can see the RA video.
I mean, people can.
All right. What do we say? If we get to 520, we'll put the RA video up. How's that sound?
Or they can just easily Google it.
Well, you're not supposed to give away the goods, Marvin.
Hey.
Oh, my
Actually,
goodness.
It won't be that easy to find. I think you need to have this extra special code word in it.
Probably, yeah. Hopefully.
So, but that's my fun little story. Well, things are on the internet for like ever.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. If we'll make it easier for everybody to find, and we'll put it up at jointhenerdclan.com if we get to 520 patrons. How's that sound?
I mean, I don't think this is going to be like anyone's highlight of their life.
No, people love seeing you do weird stuff. No. Yeah, don't put it on.
I'm not putting it on, but that's me.
Oh, there's a young Mary when she was like,
this
I don't know,
this is the most
19.
Embarrassing thing I've ever done. I'm glad that this is not a child-friendly show.
Oh, man.
I'm literally teaching. Nope.
You're teaching people about condoms.
Yeah.
Great
except
job.
I didn't have a banana in my room. I had an apple.
So Mary is one to do Classy. Videos that she should not be doing. That's what we get to take from all of this.
Yeah. Don't do that, guys. Word to caution. Tess, don't do that again.
Yeah, don't
or
do
else
that again.
It might end up on YouTube.
And then people will be getting it. Join the Nerd Clan.
Oh, well, remember, you can follow us and all of our activities on social media.
If you want to follow us after that.
By going to maryinblake.com, you can find all of our other podcasts. You are also up on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
You ready to get into the show?
Yeah, I just did my part. Get into the show is in white, meaning anyone can say it.
Oh, man. All right, let's...
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Yes. All right, here we go. Let's get into the show. All right, well... The episode title for this one is Changes, which I think is...
Changes.
I'm thinking about playing that song as we close out the episode today. I'm thinking about...
I love that song.
I'm a big Bowie guy. I'm big on Bowie.
I'm not.
Oh, man, he's great.
The Labyrinth scarred me.
It did. Changes. I think it's appropriate for actually all of the timelines that we got a chance to see. Each timeline is going through certain changes. We got a chance to actually see that with Kevin and Madison and the young big three, Jack and Rebecca. Everybody is going through these changes. So, and even young Jack, like young kid Jack, is going through changes, which is really great.
Young kid Jack.
The director was Anne Fletcher. Now, she has directed many movies, actually. One that Mary knows, 2017's Dumplin'. She's also directed Hot Pursuit, The Guilt Trip, The Proposal, and 27 Dresses. But she is a returning director for This Is Us, as she has directed Our Little Island Girl, Unhinged, and obviously now this episode, Changes. The writer, of course, was Kevin Falls, a returning writer since 2018. He has written Six Thanksgivings, Songbird, Road Part 1, The Club, Clouds, and, of course, Changes. Marvin, it is now time for your Lemonade rating.
Giving this one a 4.5, a solid A.
Okay.
Okay, solid A. Did it blow me away? Did I cry? I didn't cry.
Yeah, neither did I.
No Charmin was used, which I'm not going to lie. I'm actually very thankful because the toilet paper shortage 2020 has come back. Has anyone noticed this?
It has. It is coming back because what they did was... Everybody bought all the toilet paper, but they still didn't fix like the supply chain.
Yeah.
So they caught back up, but they still can't get enough out to everybody.
People need it again. They're like, COVID's going up, means I need to pee.
Not us. Not us. We have
no,
more
toilet.
We don't?
No, we don't, babe. That's all paper towels.
Oh, we're going to have a problem.
I know. That's why I didn't cry, because we don't have the Charmin to
Luckily, I know a guy. I know a guy.
Your toilet paper at work is worthless.
Hey, it's better than using your hand.
I don't know. Okay, so 4.5, solid A on my part. Not one of my top faves, but a solid show. How about you, Blake?
I'm going to go with a 4.3. I might even go 4.2. I may even go lower. It's not that I didn't like it. It was just, it's chicken.
Okay.
It's what it is. It's chicken. It's This Is Us chicken. We've been known to talk about that from time to time. It's like when you go to a wedding. Okay. And the wedding, they're serving chicken. And when you really want steak or you really want lobster and you got the stuffed chicken, I'm not going to turn it down.
I love stuffed chicken.
I'm not going to say no, but I'm not going to leave the wedding being like, dude, that stuffed chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, I would say that it's a good episode. It does what This Is Us does well. It is sweet and it is, it's fairly well written. It's directed fairly well. It takes on a couple of different themes, although it was a little all over the place. I felt like they took their time doing the premiere, and in the writer's room. They were like, oh, how do we follow that up now? And they just gave us chicken. And I'm fine with that. That's cool. All right. What about your GBG? The good, the bad, and the great.
Okay. My good is simply the Outlander shout out. I know it was just this like small little moment, but I just feel like Outlander fans around the world went,
yes. And because of that, Mary, I have to do this.
Makes me wanna shout. Seriously.
Yes.
Just
for us.
And does this mean that in my head canon, I can picture Kevin going to an Outlander convention, maybe, I don't know, the Outlander cast season 6 premiere party in a kilt? Sure, I am going to pretend that in my mind.
Sure.
Okay. No?
No, you, I got you.
Okay. My bad is just something that I didn't quite understand.
Okay.
Well, it's two things.
Sure.
The fishing time.
That's a solid criticism.
Like, you took a lot of time fishing, and I like being in Vietnam.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm in Vietnam or if I'm just speaking Vietnamese.
They're on a houseboat. We know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's what we got. So I'm down.
Sure.
But what are we doing with Randall's birth mom? in all these pictures around the house. I don't even know.
Right.
And then my other thing is that I didn't fully understand when Kevin said there were a lot of things my parents didn't notice or missed out on. And he was like working out in the garage like late at night. Yeah. And I was ready for him to drop, like to take like big weights and like drop it on himself.
That's
or hurt himself.
That's what I thought was going to happen too.
Yeah. No. So what did your parents miss?
Well, they missed, well, not only did they miss something with Kevin where he's working out extra on top of what he is already doing with his dad, something that he probably should not be doing. I wonder if he injures himself later on. Because remember, they made a big deal out of saying, hey, your body is developing. Let's not do too much here.
Okay.
Let's not
so do you too think much. They were like putting down
I think
the
they're,
frame.
Yeah, I think they're setting the stone here. And then also the thing with Randall, too, where Rebecca goes into Randall's room and says, hey, how was, I forget the girl's
Steady
name. Random girl.
Root beer lip gloss.
Yeah, that was root beer girl.
Yeah, we'll just call her root beer.
She seems nice. Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, whatever. Good night. Parents missed out on that.
Yeah.
So I think that's what he's probably referring
gotcha.
To.
Am I great?
Yep.
Pancakes.
Ooh, in what way?
In all ways. Okay. Whose pancakes would you prefer to eat? Madison's or Beth's?
Beth, come on. I mean, Madison's probably using like almond flour.
Yeah, it was gluten-free, low
stupid.
Carb. She did have blueberries in hers and you don't like blueberries.
I hate blueberries.
The significance of the pancakes being made and plated oh, and eaten? Oh, pancakes! First off, get me some syrup. Can I just have a moment? Beth makes pancakes, and she makes a family size amount of pancakes.
Yes.
They look good. They look delicious. She's proud of them. Nom, nom, nom. Randall comes down. He eats them all up. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Delicious. Madison makes gluten-free, low-cal pancakes, which, like, what does that even mean?
She makes two.
She makes three.
Oh, three. Okay.
Two for Kevin,
yep.
And there is only one on her plate.
Yeah.
Okay, as someone who eats pancakes once a week.
Yes.
I got to tell you, right away, I was like, we're talking some eating issues because nobody in their right mind
eats one pancake.
Makes pancakes and only eats one. If you like skipped, if you slept in and that's all you got, makes sense.
Yep,
but if
sure.
you made them, you know you're making at least an extra 10 to freeze.
Yeah. You got at least a dozen coming your
way. Oh my gosh. And then you can like cook them in the toaster, maybe slab a little peanut butter on it, make a peanut butter pancake sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Pancakes are my great. How about you?
All right, my good. There's this one moment with Mandy Moore as she's preparing the kids. Rebecca. As she's preparing the kids for the party. Well, not the party, but the school project that's happening. She's
Study
bringing
date.
Some stuff over. And she has a bowl of, I don't know, snacks, chips, whatever. And she almost spills the bowl.
Yes.
And I just love that she just stayed with it and the camera stayed with it and they just kept it.
Yep.
That is an awesome mom moment. You could see her eyes. So she's like, oh my God, I just did that. Keep going.
Yes.
You know, and that was awesome. That was just a
really
small
glad it was still in there.
Little moment that I think goes unnoticed by a lot of people. But I really like that.
Agreed.
The bad for me, I have a tie.
Oh dear, just like me.
Okay, first one is Kevin's hair.
What do you even mean?
It's really mushroomy. I feel like I'm back in seventh grade.
Do you realize that like young Kevin was cognizant of his deliciously thick hair? He even mentions it, except without the receding hairline. Maybe adult Kevin is having a receding hairline and they're trying to volumize it with some mousse.
No. It's like that he's got it recently cut. He got it recently shaved.
It was probably a COVID cut. They probably did it in a trailer.
Someone forgot to like...
He probably had to do it himself.
Someone forgot to fade it. It was just like they gave him the Lloyd Christmas.
His mom did it. That's what that means. She was like, oh, honey, you're going back to work? Oh, and you have to be quarantined for most of it? Come here. I got to clean up around your ears.
I'm just saying, older Kevin's hair.
It's not his fault. Listen, okay?
It's very...
They probably didn't have the same hair people on the set. They probably said, can your mom cut your hair?
I don't know what happened.
And if not, can Mandy Moore, who is your TV mom, cut your hair? Mandy Moore probably cut his hair.
Get the clippers.
Rebecca.
Hey, Mandy, come over. Yeah, no, bring the clip. You don't got scissors. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And the other one is...
can't believe that's an actual bad of yours.
Well,
I love it, though.
It's kind of dinky-doink, but I mean, it is what
it's
it
okay.
is. The other part is... There's this really great scene between Jack and Kevin in when he's younger. And... He's doing the weights and he sits back up. He says, Kevin, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. I just feel like that is so cliche.
Do you know what I say to our children every day in the car ride to school?
Oh, I'm sure that you do.
And then I make them repeat it back to me so that it's a positive affirmation. Yep. That not only you can do anything you put your mind to, but then I say, now say, I can do anything I put my mind to.
Yeah. And of course, the next thing for me is the stuff with the boat and the fishing and Randall's mom. This, to me, is a potential series breaker. I'm out on it. Okay. And the great is Madison's subtle redefinition of her character because of this pregnancy. Mm-hmm. She is actually a person now, not just...
I mean, let's be real. She's one of the few characters in the actual show that we've known.
Well, that's true. But still, like, she's an actual person. She's just not the friend, or she's
Army
not...
vet who? What's her name again? Candace?
Cassidy.
Yeah.
Candace.
Exactly.
She's an actual person. She's not just the friend. She's not just the girl at the weight loss meetings. She's not just the Kevin Lay. She's actually a real person. And I like that. Mm-hmm. And of course, let's not ignore the big elephant in the room.
What?
That being the Outlander reference. You know what? I'm going to play it again. Oh, yeah.
So does Madison boost up in the Pearson love of the other three? Like, does she get to now join those ranks?
I don't know, but she boosts up in my love. I'll tell you that.
Right. Do you love her more than Toby?
No.
Do you love her more than Miguel?
Probably a tie.
Ooh.
Probably a tie.
Let's see how they handle the holidays.
I'm in on Miggy. I'm still in on Miggy. And you want to know why?
Why?
I'm in on Miggy.
Inflatables?
Well, yeah.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
His passion for holidays.
I've liked Miggy since day one.
Miguel is going to be like holidays to the extreme because of COVID.
Yeah, of course.
He's like, oh, it's November 12th. Time to decorate.
Let's get all the Amazon. Amazon's delivering all
Hallmark
of it.
Movies on repeat.
He's got a special sweater. You know he has a special sweater.
I think we need to get a special
sweater. We're going to get a special
sweater.
Thank you. All right, ready for the big three feedback?
Yes, I do.
Let's do it.
And we said...
That's three.
Big three?
Big three!
All right, the first one comes from Ellen. She says her lemonade rating was 4.7.
Mm,
and
nice.
Her good was the father-son relationship between Kevin and Jack. You can tell in present day that Kevin still holds his father on such a high pedestal and really treasures the little moments they spent together. It's sad to see that the relationship crumbled just before he dies. So it was lovely to see it in full flourish in this episode. The bad, number one. This isn't to do with the episode, but seeing the little big three growing up made me feel very old. When Lonnie, who was Randall, opened his mouth, I was shocked at how deep his voice was. The bad number two, spending so much time with those Vietnamese characters. I understand why it was done, but I spent the whole time being like, # who are they?
Seriously.
And # why should I care?
Add them to the list.
Great. Number one, this might be controversial, but I'm so proud of Tess for standing up for what she believes in. Yes, she didn't go about it the right way in regard to the video, but I just felt so much pride in her for telling Randall and Beth that this is me, and if you don't like it, tough. This is the next generation showing we ain't here to mess around. And the great number two, the conversation between Madison and Kevin had in the garage. This is us never shies away from having those deep conversations. And this one was perfectly emotional, as you could feel the sentiment from both sides wanting to make sure they both fully understood each other's situation.
Yes. Well, Heather gives this episode 4 lemonades. The good, Rebecca's advice to teen Kate. Brought back teenage memories. The great Kevin and Madison starting to open up to one another, revealing the layers of an onion, one peel at a time. And Heather's bad was Kate and Toby's fightish over diapers and then just being cool.
Mm-hmm.
That just didn't feel right with me. I gotta agree with you, Heather didn't feel right with me either. Plus all of Kate's texting with a potential birth mom. I feel this adoption is going to be one crazy roller coaster ride.
Yes, yes. And the great, of course, is what?
She did it in the opposite. She did GGB.
Oh, okay.
So I read them that way because once again,
okay.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
No, I wasn't listening.
You just weren't listening. Okay.
And this one comes from Paula. She says 4.5 lemonades. Good. Surprisingly, I didn't hate Tess's video.
Yeah.
Not the best way, but I liked her point. And Randall recognizes that. Bad birth mom. She already has an 8-year-old. Just the fact that it is a red flag to me that this could go bad and she'll want to keep the baby because she's already experienced motherhood. And the great was Kevin and Madison. I loved them.
Here we go.
All right, so Marvin, what do you think? How do you want to? What stands out to you? How do you want to approach
this? I mean, I got the pancakes off my chest that I needed to do. Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the diaper spat just a little bit?
Yeah, because sitting next to you, I was like, oh gosh, yeah.
Been there, done that.
This isn't good. And this lady's watching. This really isn't good.
Yeah, you were cringing. Like I saw you like with your hand above your face, and you just. Ugh.
And then Toby just like switched it. Talked about a pinata, and they were good to go.
Yeah, I feel like that is pretty organic for Toby. But I would also say that those kinds of arguments don't just get resolved instantly. No,
I thought something very different.
Regular. What would you think?
I think they get resolved in bed. I feel like this is how Toby and Kate like...
Maybe I mean, that could be the case. I
don't know how we were supposed to feel after. Like, I think that this is something that the writers wrote, and I was supposed to understand how they wanted me to feel in the sense of, oh, look at them. They fought, but they made up, and it was funny, and the birth mom really likes that, and this is endearing to them. Or are we supposed to be seeing it being like, wow, that really like got dragged out, man. It's just about diapers.
Right. And like, what are we doing? And then I felt like the conversation was resolved because it needed to be resolved by the show. Like in that moment, in order to create this situation with the...
Later on, they do all the diaper stashing and everything's fine.
Sure.
So I take it as the viewer, supposed to be okay with this, that it was a cute little spat and this is how... They, as a couple, know that this is like a meaningless thing for us to be fighting about.
Right.
I mean, you and I often will do that. We'll be like, oh my gosh.
What are we doing? Like,
why are we so upset about like folding socks inside out? That's generally me. being upset about the socks being folded inside out.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in hindsight, I think by seeing the scene later with the diaper stuff all taken care of, that we were supposed to feel like, oh, it was cute and endearing. And that's how this baby mama is. However, I am reading a little bit into Stuart, you know, Mr. Bagel Bites.
Sure. Yep.
Who Kate was so excited about for him to come over. She felt like they were on the same page, working this desert diorama. Like, mm-hmm. He likes me again. We're going to have snacks. We're going to hang. Her saying like, I know what you really want. And really, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. He's there for different reasons. And to me, I'm like, is this a mirror of what's going to happen with the baby mama relationship? Like,
absolutely.
Why are we seeing this Stuart thing about Kate thinking we are so in? We are like on the same page. We're texting. We've got the same fandoms. Oh my gosh. Like, can we adopt you?
Yep.
And really, you don't know what's going on in the other person's mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So, this is totally a mirror of what's going to happen, or at least foreshadowing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're certainly right, Mary.
Because then what's the point of Stuart otherwise?
Right. And Stuart, who we've never seen before.
We have seen Stuart. Didn't they like meet up at the pool and that was her like young romance?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, this is her young romance.
Yes, okay, you're right.
And they're going to be back together, she thinks, thanks to Bagel Bites, but didn't work out.
No, I'm out on the Bagel Bites. Well, actually, no, I like Bagel Bites.
I love Bagel Bites.
I'm out on Bagel Bites kindling a relationship.
I'm out on microwaved Bagel Bites. I want them cooked because I want them crunchy on the bottom.
Well, we gotta save it in or out for later. All right,
is that like a question?
Well, no, but we can talk about that later on if you'd like. Let's just get it out of the way, kind of like how we did last episode, Mary.
Okay.
Let's just talk about Randall's mom, and that is in fact Randall's mom in the picture. That the older Vietnamese guy, he's younger. And he is talking to who I would imagine is
his granddaughter.
Granddaughter,
he
said, yeah, okay.
He called her granddaughter.
Okay, good. That is Randall's mother. By the way, speaking of young Kate, a bunch of people are like, oh, why would they change the actress? Why would they do that?
They didn't. This is puberty.
Same girl, ladies and gents.
How Randall's voice changed,
yeah.
The actress is just changing. Which is why I actually think it's brilliant that they started in the doctor's office talking about puberty. Like, hi, these kids are going to look and sound different.
Yeah, they're going to have to acknowledge this.
Because they are teenagers growing up.
So, listen. Like I said, I think this thing with Randall's mom is a potential series breaker. A famous reference is jumping the shark. Am I going to say this jumps the shark? I don't know yet, but man, it's potentially really bad. And how they're going to shoehorn this in here it's going to be interesting to see what happens. How do you feel about it? I know we got the hashtag, who are they?
Yeah.
How else do you feel about this? Do you think that this isn't, so far they've done it naturally, or do you feel like,
you know, what's interesting is that I actually liked the grandfather and granddaughter, and I liked them fishing, and I liked the little conversations they had. Frequently when like new characters brought in that I don't care about in this show, I just want to fast forward with it. Like I did about Randall's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember? I was just like, whatever. When I rewatched it, I just skipped over her because hashtag who is she?
Yep.
I care more about this Vietnamese grandfather fishing with his granddaughter than I still do about Randall's birth mom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. And she's obviously not the grandmother because she's not like, oh, that's pictures of my grandmom.
Yeah, she so doesn't know who it is.
Yeah. So like, does she wake up from the... you know, taking the drugs and then forget who she is and has amnesia and then goes to Vietnam? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea either.
Seriously, what is going on?
And
why again, Vietnam? Like, Jack's not in Nam at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't, even if she went to Vietnam, he was already like a dad at that point.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
The one thing I will wonder about this is, okay, let's just say for the sake of argument, I remember Randall saying, listen, William told me everything about my mother, and she died. She died of an overdose. What if William treated it like how Jack treated Nikki? She was dead to me. And I didn't want, and I let her down, and I didn't want to talk about it anymore. And she went on and
lived her
life.
I care about too many people right now, and my heart is getting muddled. How is she going to come back in Randall's life? Is she going to do a DNA swab, Ancestry.com?
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, I'm related to someone in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Something is going to happen with Randall where she...
Is they going to need a kidney?
I don't know. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen where she recognizes Randall.
A bone marrow match?
Or Randall does something where he recognizes her or hears a story or something along those lines because he is a councilman. That's going to happen.
I just don't care about her.
I know, I don't care. Dave here on Facebook says Laurel has amnesia.
That's fine. How'd she get to Vietnam?
I am way out on
that. How did she get there?
I am way out on that. But here's another thing. Even though I really don't like what's going on with Randall's mother, potentially.
Laurel.
I will say I kind of like how they handled it in terms of the grandfather talking to the granddaughter and saying... So many questions in a little body. Have patience. And that to me seems like Dan Fogelman and Elizabeth Berger and the showrunners saying to us as viewers, calm down.
Yeah, it takes a while to make this meal.
You got a lot of questions. We know.
We got to go fishing. We got to gut the fish. We got to bread the fish. We got to cook the fish. Just let the Laurel fish sit for a moment.
Yeah. I wonder if the writers are consciously aware of that fact. Like, they must have known, right? They must have known that this is going to be a big fracking deal, that Randall's mother, Laurel, is alive. And people are going to have a kabillion questions, and they're just slow playing, and they're telling the audience, relax.
And does Vietnam have anything to do with Jack or Nick in Vietnam?
Part of me thought, remember... when Jack was in Vietnam and the guy gave him a ride on the scooter and he essentially saved Jack.
Yes.
Part of me wonders if that's the same guy or it wondered if it was the same guy, but I don't think that it is.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have faith, but right now This Is Us has introduced too many people to me that I don't care enough about. And I don't want to spend any more time with people that I don't care about.
That's great.
I want Nikki back.
Yes, I absolutely want Nikki back. And I kind of want to see Cassidy again. Like, that was a big deal last year.
Cassidy is not going to be... I mean, do you think she's going to be cool with Kevin being engaged?
Oh, that's a good question.
Right?
That's a good question.
See, but I don't care.
I've got a hot take on that. I got a hot take.
Hashtag who are they?
Speaking of Kevin, I really... really, really liked the scenes of Kevin working out with Jack.
Yes.
We've talked about the show being too Jack dependent. And perhaps this season is when they're finally going to turn it around. And if we're going to continue to see Jack, I want things like this.
Agreed.
Where it's not life changing.
No.
I mean, well, ultimately it is life changing, but it's not the big histrionic thing. It's a fond memory.
And that's what you have of your mom.
Yes.
So people don't know Blake's mom passed away when he was 18. And it's like, I know that you've talked about the times when she would like stay up when you were sick and just like rub your stomach, you know, if you had a stomach ache. Like it's those little things that you remember of those parents who passed. Not, mm-hmm. And the big things. But, you know, we were listening to this because it was Kevin having meaning about working out in a garage and
right.
why that meant something to him.
Right. And how that, and of course this episode is titled Changes. And I find it awesome that there is this memory of Kevin as a young kid working out with his dad. It's a sweet moment, the Hans and Franz thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, come on, let's go. You can do it. How that fond memory changes and develops into something that is a burden for Kevin. And even how in Jack's frame of mind, a flashback within a flashback with his dad, that how his relationship changes and evolves from when he was a kid to when he was an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these things, the theme of what's it like to parent. How do you evolve with these changes? You're seeing that flat out with Kevin and Jack. And you're seeing changes, too, I think, with Rebecca, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being the cool mom. What do you think about her being the cool mom?
Rebecca's time has come. Rebecca has had to stress and change diapers and, you know, deal with all of this stuff. And now these kids can, for the most part, fend for themselves. Granted, they can't make bagel bites, but for the most part, they can handle themselves. And she's just ready to be the cool mom. And I love that because eighth grade is where the change happens.
Mm-hmm.
For the kids where they do want to have more freedom. They want to have, you know, someone who they're interested in come on over for a study date. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yep.
And I just loved how Rebecca said, like, I've got this and I'm going to keep my eyes on it. And she does. I mean, let's be real. Randall could have kissed that girl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he didn't. And we'll talk about that in a little moment. But he could have. And Rebecca would have still been in the same area and been like, oh, okay, this is happening. She knows that Kate is trying to canoodle a wee bit with Stuart.
Yep.
You know, so Rebecca is appreciating that her kids, who are 13, are 13-year-old teenagers, you know? And I think she's also just, like, excited to see them become their own people.
Sure. And the other further changes that happen here, I think, too, is certainly concerning Randall. I mean, we have many changes
mm-hmm.
With how he's relating to his daughter. And... like we have Tess changing in her own way.
How do you think that, because Randall has, he's, you know, reliving this memory. He's writing it down in his journal about how, I forget the girl's name, Rupier, was trying to kiss him because he's black.
Sure.
You know, and how that made him feel and how he's never shared that with anybody. So how do you relate that to what Tess is going through?
I relate it because the therapist that Randall finally chooses, of course, more changes and evolving through therapists with Randall. There's a really interesting term that therapist uses, one that I had never heard of, transracial identity, where Randall grew up in mm-hmm. a white home
mm-hmm.
and he was the black kid in the white home. Like that's it. And he had to compensate in many ways, which we saw with Random Girl. Her name was Tanya, by the way. I just looked it up.
Okay,
Random Girl.
I'm still calling Rupia it
Girl.
Rupia.
Yeah, Rupia Girl. The thing with, oh, I always wanted to kiss a person like you, is that in today's terms, that is wrong. We know that. At the time, is that wrong? It's just a little girl being a little girl without thinking, right?
I mean, I don't think, yeah, I don't think she had any ill intent.
I think
that, you know, she not only wanted, I mean, eighth graders in general, they just.
They're not thinking. They're not using their brains.
No, no.
Where's your brain? Right? That's, yes. I want to say that to so many people today. Where's your brain? And Root Beer Girl, I'm going to say that to her too. Where's your brain? Mm-hmm. What I'm getting at is, at the time, Randall looks at that and sees, whoa, like, what are you talking about? But he kind of puts it under the rug. He doesn't tackle it because he lives in a white home. Mm-hmm. The same thing happens here. There's a transracial identity issue that he has. And I think Tess has that too. She says to Randall,
yep.
I grew up in a white neighborhood.
A prissy
school. And
straight.
And a straight school. And this is...
And I'm not going to be that girl.
I'm not going to be that person. And she is discovering not only her, I think, transracial identity, really, because she's among this group of people that is not her, both in her color and in her sexual preferences. Mm-hmm. She's struggling too. So that's how I relate the two. They're both having those big changes in their life. And Randall is the one that is pushing it down. And Tess is the one that's actually finally confronting it.
See, well, that's what I think is cool, is they're confronting it now at the same time. They're both confronting it in 2020. Randall is confronting everything, that he did stifle or that he didn't even know how to... I took it almost that he didn't even know how to comprehend it at that point. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, he was so shocked and so taken aback and had to digest it on his own, but yeah, didn't feel comfortable saying anything. Yeah, it's difficult when Randall and Beth are having that conversation about good parent, bad parent, and this is what it's going to be like to parent a teenager. I felt for Randall, because obviously Beth is like, no, we do not disrespect, and I appreciate that. We do not disrespect our teachers. We do not put things in the internet. Yeah. You know, not only is she caring about her child, but this is her daughter. She has three daughters, and you know, as a mother to a daughter, I personally want to make sure that our kids know you are not putting stuff like that of yourself on the internet.
Absolutely. You know? She's earned that angry paw.
Yeah.
earned it.
But for them to ground her for 6 weeks.
Yeah, but you know, you and I have been in that position where you have told me, go talk to your son. He needs a big punishment for what he has done.
Yeah.
And yeah, I get it. I get where you're coming from. 6 weeks, that feels like a lot. And then even to follow up by saying, don't finish that sentence because, well, I'm going to tack on three
more. I would
have
done that same thing. Fascist.
I would agree. Though it is very funny that she's calling him a fascist.
You think it's funny now, but give it 5 years.
I know, that's true. Because it's going to happen to us. Yeah. I find it appropriate because it's something that if you want to voice your opinion, do it the right way. Mm-hmm. That was not the right way. It was not smart. Use your voice in the way that's constructive.
What I'm interested to see is, because we kind of felt that conflict for Randall as a parent to punish Tess for this, even though he is probably proud of her for sticking up for herself, for sticking up for her identity. I'm interested to see how he and Beth help Tess foster a healthier way of expressing herself and standing up for herself. Yep. So yes, she's going to be grounded for 6 weeks, but can they sit down and say, all right, if you want to get involved in, you know, these type of issues, are there clubs at your school? Are there resources online? Can you be doing a teen talk podcast? You know, something. But I'm interested to see, because she's old enough where she can create something and she can really have a voice.
Yep.
And she obviously has strong opinions. So I'm interested to see if Beth and Randall don't just punish her, but if they're able to help her voice her opinions, because that is something Randall did not do.
I like the approach too. Because this is a real thing where usually there's a good cop and there's a bad cop parent. Mm-hmm. And there's a way that parents approach things, and you just fall into a system, really. I know we do it. Mm-hmm. You know, if the kids aren't listening to you, I hear, Blake, fix this, or something along those lines. And that happens about every day. And
because I have to tap out.
And I'm the heavy that comes in there and does the dealing. I like that we have this conversation between Randall and Beth at the same time, where Beth says, listen, I'm the heavy all the time. You got to go up there and you have to take care of this. And the reason why I'm saying this is because Russell here on Facebook says, but Randall tells Tess of her punishment. Beth was in the hall outside. She should have been there too. I think it's a fair argument. I would love to know your thoughts on that, Marvin.
So I disagree about Beth having to be in there too, as I feel like Beth is the one that probably got the phone call from the principal. Maybe Beth even had to go to the school to get tests from the principal. Mm-hmm. She just spoke in the dining room. Also, you know, what I liked is that Randall went in and sat on the bed and was at the same level as Tess.
Yes,
you know, not
absolutely.
Necessarily to be equals, but to be not coming from a place of, I mean, he's still the authority figure, but still coming from a place of like, this is hard.
He's not dominating.
Yes. And I think that if they came in together, it would be dominating.
They would be teaming up. And the way that it's shot, too. I mean, you're right, Mary. There is no up angle. There's no down angle. It is straight on.
And I also feel like if Beth was called a fascist, she would have said you're grounded for a year.
Yeah, totally. Totally. All right. We got the last bit here that I think we should talk about. Well, at least part of it. The conversation between Kevin and Madison.
And their engagement balloons?
The engagement balloons. Also, Kevin, as soon as we started talking about weight, like as soon as we saw the pancakes and we saw Madison rubbing her stomach, we knew instantly this is going to be an issue for the rest of this episode.
Why does she wake up so early?
Ah, a great, great question, Mary. And would you like to know my thought on that?
Sure.
Because she does not want Kevin to see her without her makeup.
Agreed.
Oh, yes.
I mean, A, she's pregnant, so she probably has insomnia. Lord knows, during both of my pregnancies,
yes,
I was up at all times of the day.
Yep.
But I was not up being like, I'm going to go put on a dress and do my makeup.
Yep.
Not at all. But if you're dating Kevin Pearson.
Yeah, man. Movie star. Getting
like in the movies and on TV, they go to sleep with makeup on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she probably does. She probably feels a little self-conscious and is like, I need to look a little perky while I'm making these blueberry pancakes.
And what it all boils down to is, Madison's right. They don't know each other.
No.
And they have, everything has been backwards for them, as Madison says. They haven't had that dating period where, yeah, like you dress up and you get makeup on and you go meet each other and then maybe you move in together and then you don't see as much makeup. And then all of a sudden you're waking up and your hair is all done crazy and like you're drooling.
It makes me think of how long it used to take in a relationship for me to not wear a bra around the house or whatever around a person.
Yes.
Like, I'll be real with you all. When I'm home and I'm just chilling, I don't like to wear a bra. Hopefully some of you understand what I'm talking about. It's a little constrictive. But I know when I was like with somebody who was still in the new phase, like I wouldn't just be sitting on the couch watching TV in a t-shirt without a bra on, like flopsy mopsy, okay?
Flopsy-mopsy.
And same thing with like waking up early and going and brushing your teeth because you don't want like them to know you have morning breath.
Right.
Now Blake and I are at a point where it's like,
she's like, hi, Blake.
I pretty much speak parcel tongue to you.
You're a wizard, Harry.
So she it's a question of her upkeep and her,
the newness still in the relationship.
Yeah, and her identity. She's still, now that she's pregnant and she has to deal with this very mature thing of, I gained 2 pounds because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on the fridge. By the way, a stainless steel fridge, magnets would not work.
Yeah. Like, what's up with that?
I mean, just throwing that out there. Little attention to detail. Come on, This Is Us. Let's go.
Like, Madison doesn't need a stainless steel fridge. Maybe Kevin.
Maybe he bought her one. Yeah. I don't know. He Amazoned it. No, but it's something.
Did they buy a camper or rent it? I hope they rented.
No, doesn't he own a camper?
Yeah, but that's with Nikki. He gave it to Nikki.
Oh, good point.
I really hope they rented because I don't know.
I didn't see a Cruise in America thing on it. That was a legit 40-footer.
Did you see a travel camper?
When they got to the cabin, they showed the big camper?
I did not remember that.
See, that's why you got me, Marvin. Okay. It's her identity. She's discovering who she is as she goes along with Kevin. Not only that, but she's discovering who she is as she's pregnant. I eat because I have to.
Does she have a job? When she first woke up, I was like, oh, yeah, like she's getting ready for work. And then she was making pancakes. And then they went for a walk. So I don't know.
LB on YouTube just says, I've never listened to a word either of you said with a bra on.
Thanks, LB. We're that close.
Oh, sorry. I had to point that out.
I forget what Madison's job is.
I don't remember. Stats are for nerds. Who cares? Who knows what any of their jobs are except for Kevin and Randall? Like, all of them. I don't know what they do.
Does Randall actually get a full paycheck for being on city council?
I don't think so. He probably gets, like, I don't know, $5 an hour for being on city council.
And Beth's school is closed.
Yeah, she's got nothing coming in. Who knows what they're doing? Maybe he must have made a ton of money predicting weather for those people. He made millions because that apartment they live in.
I know.
Not cheap.
Those writers really embellished the stimulus check situation. Oh, they have three kids. They probably got $1 million.
Yeah, sure. They're all flying across the country, driving, doing this.
Renting RVs.
Oh, man. Yep. Nope.
Maybe Kevin just pays for everything. That's what I'm just going to tell myself.
One of the last things, but again, that conversation between Kevin and Madison for both of them is a very mature, eye-opening conversation, I feel like. And it is well-written, and there's a lot of tension between the two, but as we have noted, the tension is broken with Corns on his feet and
Outlander.
And Outlander, which is a great reference, number one. But number two, it's well-written. You have this rise of tension, this very serious thing. You have to break that.
It was kind of like Kate and Toby, but I liked this one better.
This felt more organic.
Agreed.
This felt better. Well established, well written, well directed too.
Now they've just shared with each other their like some of their greatest demons. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see how and when Kevin talks to Madison about the loss of his dad and how he wasn't there, and that's something that he struggles with. I'm glad that he talks with her a little bit about how he has to still figure things out with his brother.
Mm-hmm. I love that too. Actually, that's great, Mary. The fact that they brought this up.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing that This Is Us writers are showing you that they're not just going to do the R&B properties route.
Yes.
That this is still coming. This is still a big player in what is happening in This Is Us between the two brothers. They're going to have a confrontation. And Kevin fully admits that.
Yes.
Well established. I hope that Randall's need or compulsion for total control, something that happened in the last season as it relates to the study in St. Louis, I hope that gets addressed.
Mm.
Because right now I feel like Kevin is getting the bag on that situation in the fight between the brothers. I feel like Kevin is taking the responsibility for that. And it's not all just on Kevin. This has just as much to do, if not more, with Randall bulldozing his way in with his mother and making sure that she goes to St. Louis and saying, I need you to do this for me. I don't care how you frame it. That's not right how he handled that. So I hope that they address this. Do you think they will?
Yeah.
I hope so. Anything else you want to say about the episode?
How do you feel about mask selection?
Great point. That was so funny.
Blake accidentally took one of my masks, my favorite mask. Okay. It was a Vincent Van Gogh inspired Harry Potter flying by Hogwarts mask. God. And he just took it because he didn't have one. And then he vacuumed it up with a car vacuum.
By accident.
It just made this big whoop. And I was like, Blake, that was my favorite mask. Like, what'd you just do, man?
I didn't mean to do it. I was vacuuming the car, and it hit my hand, the end of the vacuum, and it just happened. The mask just happened to be on the seat. And whoop, I was like, oh, no.
Yep.
Hopefully Mary didn't see that, but of course she saw it, heard it. It was,
oh, yeah.
What'd you
and
do?
I've been mourning that mask ever since. I need to just a couple of other things I wanted to point out. I'm really, really happy that Randall has found a therapist, and I hope that this works out well. I feel like he's had a really sticky, tough time, you know, working with other people and trusting other people. So I'm really hoping that this works out for him. I also, when that random woman like took a picture with Kevin, she asked Madison, how many weeks do you have left to go?
Yeah,
Madison said, I have a few more months.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because Madison's so skinny that she looks like she's much further along because right. her belly's probably protruding so much. But I just was like, oh, man.
Not great, Bob.
Nope.
Not great.
Have
not
that
great,
said to Bob. Me a few times. Wow, you look ready to pop. Mm.
It's, I got at least 6 more months. Thanks.
Yeah, I just
thanks,
got
though.
Pregnant yesterday.
those are the tacos that I ate yesterday. Thanks.
Named barbacoa and chipotle.
Barbacoa.
Time for In or Out.
Oh, all right.
What? I don't know.
You're not using your iPad. You're not reading the document, Marvin. You're not reading.
Okay.
In or Out is brought to you by
Minute with Mary. Minute with Mary is your one-stop shop for all your beauty needs. And if you've listened to me a million times and you're like, oh my gosh, I've heard this girl talk about her makeup forever. My mascara is on sale this week. Like this very, very week. My mascara and my lash serum. And that's like the only part of your face that shows right now. Guys, let's make sure you have fabulous looking lashes. Send me a message. Go to MinuteWithMary.com. Even search the hashtag MinuteWithMary. You'll find me. It's me, Mary, the girl in your headphones.
All right. You ready for In or Out?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it.
What's it going to be, McFly? Are you in or out?
All right. The first in or out that I have is this. In or Out on Mr. Belvedere.
Never watched it.
Really?
Nope.
Oh, man. What a great show.
What was it about?
I'm not even going to get into it. Don't even worry about it.
Is he as good as Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell?
Better, way better. Not even close. Mr. Belvedere rocks. All right. Okay. In or Out on The Rise of Skywalker.
Why is this here?
Because the next one is the pregnant lady. Her favorite character is Babu Freak,
oh, yeah.
which was in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And it is a very controversial film within the Star Wars universe.
Oh.
So I would love to know if you
I
were
loved
in...
The Rise of Skywalker.
Did you really?
We did a podcast about
we
it.
We did. Go to the Mary and Blake, MaryandBlake.com. Check out the Mary and Blake show.
You did love it?
No,
yes,
no,
Blake.
But I wasn't sure if things had changed for you over time.
No, and I am slightly embarrassed to admit how many times I watched on YouTube The Kiss.
Oh, right.
Because it was so hated, and yet I loved it.
I was kind of out on that kiss.
You know who I was out on?
I didn't think it was earned.
Babu Frick.
You were out on Babu Freak?
Yes.
Why?
Because it reminds me of the character from The Navigator, the little thing that like would be like, rah, rah. You know what I'm talking about? It was like a pet. You know what I'm talking about, right? The Navigator movie from like the 80s or 90s?
Flight of the Navigator?
Yeah, man. Yeah. And there was this little thing that looked just like Babu Frick.
Oh, man. I love Babu Frick. Mm. And how he talks and Babu Frick is this little dude. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that was a practical effect, by the way. That was a puppet.
I know. It looked just like the Flight of the Navigator.
All right. In or Out on Ghostbusters 2 being just as good as Ghostbusters 1.
I might argue and say it's even better.
Whoa. Them's fighting words. You know what? No. 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 No.
Shame.
If you want to argue to me that it's just as good as one, I'm willing to have a conversation.
I think I've actually seen two a lot more times than one.
Yep.
I think I enjoy the Ghostbusters, the plural, the dynamic of the Ghostbusters.
Yes.
And I enjoy, I just enjoy the dynamic of the characters in Ghostbusters 2 a lot.
Sure. Did you watch the latest one, the all-female cast Ghostbusters, directed by Paul Feig?
Yes, and I forgot everything about it.
Yeah, it was not a great film.
It's okay.
It was not great.
I did watch Ghostbusters 2 in labor.
Did you really?
Yeah, after you fell asleep.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I watched from like 2 to 4.
Was that... before or after the Total Recall remake?
After Total Recall remake.
Yeah. By the way, out on the Total Recall remake.
Yeah.
With Colin Farrell.
I watched really great stuff when I was in labor.
I really liked the second Ghostbusters.
I agree.
I'm in on it. It is not Ghostbusters 1, but I will not talk with you about it being better than number 1. Will not happen.
Because your love me higher.
All right, In or Out on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Either the film or the TV series by Joss Whedon.
Never watched the film.
Okay.
And the TV series, I'm okay with. I actually have not watched it as an adult. So, and I didn't watch it religiously growing up. I had some friends who were like obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And I didn't have time for TV growing up.
Good point. I'm a big Joss Whedon fan. I'm big on Firefly, Buffy, I'm not as big on.
Okay.
I'm going to say out on Buffy. In or out. Stopping celebrities for a picture out. or an autograph. I'm out on it, too. I will not do that.
Agreed.
I would rather stick a fork in my eye than do that. All right. In or out. Root beer smack is. Lip smack
is. So good. But my favorite one is Dr. Pepper.
Oh, out. I'm out. I'm out on Dr. Pepper.
You're out on lip smackers?
And I'm out on lip smackers. You want to know why?
Because you're not a girl.
Yes,
in the
and
90s?
It's too goopy, man. Way too goopy.
No, it's not. Yeah, if they put it on as much as she did, it's goopy. But I think it's a perfect little layer of sheer deliciousness.
Ugh, out. Out, out. All right, in or out on blueberry pancakes?
Yes.
Out. Blueberry pancakes suck.
Oh my gosh, you can up it and make it blueberry banana?
Oh, it's too much stuff.
All the squish.
And the thing is, when you go to do the blueberries like burst and like the pancakes don't stay together. Like, this is with chocolate chips, they stay together.
No, blueberries.
It's especially when you get too many blueberries. Out. No way. Blueberries suck. In or out on dioramas?
Out.
Way out in dioramas. I hated doing it in school. It was a waste of time.
You know,
it never looked good. No matter what you did.
That's the thing. They never look good. So you can do like a really crappy job and still get an A.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, it was like a very easy, you know, when you had your book reports and it was like, you can write something, you can dress up as a character and like act something out, or you can do a diorama. You're like, obviously I'm doing a diorama because that takes me 10 minutes and the teacher will still give me an A.
Yep. In or out on the Hans and Franz SNL skit.
Never saw it.
Oh, it's great stuff. Love it. We want to pump you up.
Like, I just love that you keep talking about these things from the 90s.
Well, I wasn't sure if
and 80s.
If you've gone back.
My parents didn't let me watch TV.
In or out on fishing.
Totally in.
Way out. So out. You sit there for hours doing nothing. You're just sitting there looking at a freaking line in the water, and you gotta get the worm, you gotta put it on the hook, and then you gotta
terrible at fishing,
and then you gotta go get all the stuff at the
our children actually
and
really
bait
love
shop,
fishing,
and you gotta get like the special
some days I wonder how we got married.
Stupid flashy thing on there, and every fish has got a stupid
the lure.
Yeah, every fish has got a different one.
What do you mean every fish?
Yeah, they all like separate lures, and that's how they get you. That's how they get you. They get you to buy 15 million lures and hooks.
You don't even own a fishing pole.
I did.
Okay, we're moving on.
It may or may not have been
being
a Fisher
the cool
Price
parent.
One. Yeah, in or out on being the in or out on being the cool parent.
Out.
I'm out. I don't want to be the cool parent. I want to be the parent that lays it down.
Oh, wow.
You lay down the law. I'm the law and order parent.
I don't necessarily want to be the cool parent, but I want to be, I just want to be the parent, man. I just want them to know that I love and respect them and I'm here for them always, but I will also hold them accountable for their actions.
Sure. Suzanne says, you get to read a book when fishing. Different. You might as well not fish because you're too busy focusing on the book.
This is why we haven't gone camping.
Don't even fish. What, you just go read a book? Sit on the porch. Read a book. Don't read a book while you're fishing. You're actively not fishing if you're reading a book.
Okay, listen. I will just get someone else to go fishing with me. A rent a friend.
Oh, all right.
Back when COVID's done.
Time for hot takes. You got any hot takes?
Not really. Aside from, I don't think that this baby mom is going to work out, and I blame Stuart.
Yep. Okay. Well, why?
Because I don't understand the purpose of Stuart. Unless it's to mirror something with the baby mama.
Yeah, sure. So you blame Stuart for the fact that they're not going to be able to adopt a kid 30 years later.
I'm saying that Stuart is making me feel like something's not going to happen.
All right, let's do the hot takes.
Was I supposed to save this until now?
But yes, because we got to play the music. Every segment has music.
Maybe if there was music written in the Google Doc, you just said, what's your hot take?
How
so I said it.
How many episodes of This Is Us 2? No. Not even that. How many episodes of podcasts have we done where we have...
We don't do this every time.
We have, Outlandish Theories.
Okay, are you going to make a joke at some point about a pinata to make this better?
No, not at all, but...
You're welcome. What's your hot take, Blake?
Oh, Mary, good job. Oh, that was good. Good job. All right, my hot take is that Madison is not the person Kevin is married to in the future.
Oh.
You want to know why?
Is it Sophie?
It might be Sophie. It might be. But my real hot take is that it's Cassidy.
I really hope not.
Cassidy is going to be the one.
Hashtag who are they?
And I wonder, here's a thought. I wonder if Madison dies.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder if she dies. And the reason why I say that is because she's got bulimia. Like, well, she doesn't have bulimia, but she is bulimic. And I wonder if she does something in her pregnancy concerning bulimia or something along those lines,
yeah,
where
she
gets
got
really
so dark.
Well, let me just finish where she gets really sick.
No,
and she
can
dies
die.
During birth or something along those lines.
Nope. This is us can't kill anybody else. I'm sorry. We can't handle it in our hearts and souls in 2020. They already ruined us by like dragging out Jack's death forever. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ruined us. We already know that Rebecca's dying. Mm-hmm. They can't take anyone else away from us.
That's true.
Okay.
She's going to die.
How about you just take Candace?
As a matter of fact...
What's her name?
Cassidy.
Yeah, get rid of her.
Hashtag, who are they?
Seriously.
You know what? I'm putting the Larson Garin toss on this one. I am take Bunkett.
That you think he marries Cassidy?
I'm take Bunkett on the Marion Cassidy thing and Madison dying.
All out on that. If This Is Us does that... You know what that's the equivalent to? Ruining 2020.
2020's been ruined for a long
Betty
time.
Betty White is still alive, so shut your mouth. It is not ruined. There was still
Sean
hope.
Connery died. That's enough. Alex Trebek died.
There's
that's
still
enough.
Christmas.
Christmas and hopefully a vaccine. Hopefully.
No, that's not this year.
No, it's quite, I know, quarter two next year. I know. But hopefully they prove that it works this year. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what will save the year.
And then, like Blake hopes, you just kill Cassidy. What's her name? Madison. Mm-hmm. No, don't kill Madison.
Ooh, Russell here on Facebook says, the big three lost a dad. Next, the twins lose a mother.
No.
Ooh, I like Russell.
Listen,
I'm in.
This is
I'm
not
in.
A Shakespearean tragedy.
Oh, yes, let's go.
No.
Let's go.
No.
Mm-hmm.
All set. Nope. They're trying to tackle some other real world issues. We need people to stop dying.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, you ready to close this bad boy out?
Need Miguel's inflatables.
I will not play Changes because you said you didn't like David Bowie. That's fine.
I hope that we get Thanksgiving. Oh my, we won't even be able to get Pilgrim Rick. Oh my God, where is the hat? Where even is it? Randall must have it,
Randall
right?
Randall has the hat. Randall's got to have that.
Oh my gosh.
Does Randall do any of the Thanksgiving stuff now?
He has to.
I don't think he does.
Thanksgiving's his thing.
No, but he doesn't do, I bet you he doesn't do the hot dogs.
Why?
Or the crackers.
Why not?
Because he is separating himself from that.
His kids will still, oh my God, nobody's coming over for Thanksgiving. He's not going to do hot dogs. Oh my God, if this show takes that away from me.
There's another hot take. Oh yeah. Yep, no Thanksgiving, no hot dogs.
Oh my God.
No crackers.
Are Miguel and Rebecca still at the cabin? Because there's no inflatables there.
Oh man.
And what's up with Gregory? Can he please just like, he and Cassidy can go away.
Yeah, I think I'm out on Gregory right now. I'm out. All right, listen, we got to finish this show up here. We got to finish it out. All right, you ready to close it out?
Please.
Let's do it.
Thank you all so much for tuning into this episode.
Great turnaround, Mary.
Oh, yeah. You know, I got it.
That's a pivot.
You know, but I do especially want to take a moment to thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com
Bigly
for making
pivot.
All of this possible.
Yes.
Seriously, all of this possible. Things are going down. The Charmin's running out, guys, but we have got each other. And we've got to be bringing the Lumos in your time of Nox, continuing with This Is Us and the Potterverse and the Crown, which
yes,
comes
absolutely.
Out next week. But remember, that's only available for our friends at jointhenerdclan.com.
And not only that, the After Doc shows. After we record this episode right here that you're listening to right now, Mary and I will have an After Doc show where it's just a fun, relaxed episode of us talking and about our lives, This Is Us, and anything else that comes up. So that's it.
On that note, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And this is us too.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop.
Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.